Our sermon for this evening comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're continuing in our series through 2 Timothy. And so if you would like to turn in your copy of God's Word, you can do that. I'll be reading from verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Hear now God's holy, inspired word. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This is God's word. Let's pray and ask for his blessing on it. Lord our God, we thank you for your living and active word. We thank you for calling, Lord, men to preach that word. I thank you for the great privilege and responsibility of preaching that, preaching your word. And I ask, Lord, that tonight you would empower me to speak your words, to speak with your authority. And we pray that your word tonight would come and be spoken in power, and it would change us and transform us and lift us up. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. If you survey the religions of the world and you look at what they do when they gather together, they do a number of things. In some religions, people gather together and they meditate. They try to empty their minds. In other religions, people gather together and they get out their prayer mats and bow down and repeat certain rote prayers. In other religions, people gather together and they perform certain rituals, lighting candles or burning incense. But when God's people gather together, one of the unique things about God's people is that when they gather together, they preach the word and listen to the word preached. And here, in the letter, Paul's letter to Timothy, he gives Timothy this charge, to preach the word. And you could say that really this is the heart of the entire letter to Timothy. Timothy, I'm leaving. I'm passing the torch to you. Timothy, preach the word. Preaching the word is essential to the life of God's people. And so we're going to see this evening why it's so critical and what Paul's exhortation entails. We're going to break this up into four parts. So I've added one additional part to what's printed in the bulletin. But we're going to look briefly at the ministry of the word to which Timothy is called. Secondly, the method. Thirdly, the manner. And then lastly, the mandate of preaching the word. So first, the ministry of the word. What does it mean to preach the word? Paul's exhortation, again, is to first preach. Preach the word. He doesn't say give give your own suggestions. He doesn't say, express your opinions to people. He says, preach. And that's what we do when we gather. When the minister stands up before God's people and he preaches, he's not giving suggestions. He's not just expressing his own thoughts on the subject, but he is proclaiming. To preach means to proclaim or to herald. The word means to herald. And when the herald is a messenger who expresses the words of the king, of the one who sent him. And so when a minister heralds or proclaims the word, he's speaking not his own thoughts, but he's proclaiming the word of the king, the Lord. And so there is authority with that. When a minister preaches, he is an ambassador of Christ, as Paul said in Timothy, in his letter to the Corinthians. We are ambassadors because the message doesn't originate with us, but originates with the one who sent us and who is speaking through us. But secondly, what is the content of the preaching? It says preach, but preach what? Preach the word. He is to preach God's word. He's to preach the scriptures. So this is why he is able to proclaim with authority, because he's speaking the very word of God. And that's important to remember when we sit under the word of God. We're not listening. If a preacher is preaching, a minister is preaching the word. He's preaching. His message is coming from Scripture. We're not listening to a man, but we're listening to God speaking through his servants. Are you conscious of that when you sit under the preaching on Sunday morning or Sunday evening? This is God's word speaking to me. This is the Lord speaking to you. I remember when I was in college, and I guess there's something about that age where, you know, you sort of think you know everything. I find the older that I get, the more humble I become, the more I think realistic I become about what I as a person really know. But I found myself one day, I came to the realization, the Lord brought me the realization, that as I was sitting, listening to sermons, I was listening as an evaluator, as a critic. Is this person preaching what I like, or is this person preaching what I agree with? And then the Lord convicted me through someone else proclaiming the word. I'm not to sit in judgment on the word of God, but I'm to receive the word of God. And that was a reorientation for me. What is the Lord? I approached the sermon saying, what is the Lord saying to me today? So the ministry of the word is the proclaiming of God's word. That's the ministry of the word. But secondly, Paul gives Timothy a method here, because when the word is being preached and proclaimed, the word is being proclaimed to real people who are living in real situations. And so Paul says to Timothy, you reprove, rebuke, and exhort with patience and teaching. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. What is reproving? Reproving is convicting. It's speaking the word. It's aiming the word at the heart to convict. And so the minister is to preach the word to convict the heart of sin, to convict the heart concerning the realities of God's holiness and his judgment. Now, when you sit under the word, is your heart tender And are you ready to allow the word to convict you where you need to be convicted? Paul says, reprove. But secondly, he says to rebuke. Now, what is rebuking? Rebuking is censuring or warning people. Rebuking is aimed at false teaching and destructive behavior and whatever opposes the truth. And undoubtedly, Paul has in mind here the false teachers who are preaching things contrary to the gospel. And so he says to Timothy, rebuke those who are in error through the word. And thirdly, he says to exhort the word. You're not only to preach to convict, you're not only to preach to rebuke error, but you are to preach to exhort the people. Now, what is exhorting? Exhorting is encouraging God's people. It's comforting God's people. Do you need to be encouraged in your Christian walk? This present age is a difficult age to live in as we await the consummation of all things. Christ's final victory over all of his enemies. Right now, we're walking in faith, and we're surrounded by difficulties, by trials, by sufferings, by spiritual enemies. And we need to be encouraged. And so Paul says, preach to encourage the people. In fact, that word there can be translated to comfort. Parakaleo. It's actually the same word that Jesus uses to describe the Holy Spirit in John 14:26, when he says, I'm leaving you, but I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm going to send the Comforter. And so Paul says, preach the word, because the Holy Spirit comforts his people through that word. That's why you need to be under the word. That's why you need to hear the word preached. That's why the church needs to preach the word, because we need to be convicted. At times we need to be rebuked, and we need to be encouraged along as we walk this path of faith. So that's the method. But thirdly, the manner. Paul exhorts Timothy to preach in a particular manner. And here we see this particularly in verse 2. He says, be ready in season and out of season. What is your to be the manner of your preaching? Well, it's to be persistent and consistent. Keep preaching when it's seasonable and when it's unseasonable. Now, what exactly is Paul talking about? In season and out of season. Well, he explains this in verse 3. He says, you need to be ready and you need to preach in and out of season, because the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they're going to accumulate themselves for themselves teachers who to suit their own passions, and then will turn away. Preach in season and out of season. Now, what Paul is saying is, sometimes you're going to preach in a season when people are hungry for the word, they're receptive, and you're going to preach that word, and people are going to hang on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And they will love it, and they will respond, and you'll see them changing. You'll see them changing through it. When I was in Uganda, I was just amazed at the openness to the word of God among the people there. There was a hunger for it. People, as soon as they started hearing the word, they sat down. If they had a Bible, they opened up and they listened. And they said, thank you for preaching God's word to us. But then, you know, in parts of America, in most of America, there's not that same eagerness and openness. Oh, I don't want to hear that. But Paul says it doesn't matter. When it's in season, you're going to be encouraged. And you're going to want to preach. But there are going to be times of unseasonableness where you'll be tempted not to preach. Sometimes the word will be in season. People are ready for it. Sometimes they'll be out of season. And he says there are going to be many preachers who are going to preach according to the season. If it's apple season, people are demanding apples, that's what they're going to give. That's what they're going to hand out. If it's strawberry season and people are demanding strawberries, they're going to hand out strawberries. But Paul says, always preach God's word, no matter what season it is. This is a sobering reminder of the dangers in the church. Paul says in verse 3, in these times people will not endure sound teaching, but they will have itching ears and accumulate teachers to suit their own passions. And so, if their passion is material wealth, they will accumulate teachers who to teach that God will make you healthy and wealthy now if you donate enough money to the ministry. If people's passion is pride, they will accumulate teachers who won't tell them that they're sinners in need of God's mercy and salvation, but will tell them that they just need to love themselves and to esteem themselves highly. If their passion is sinful desires or behaviors that the world around them is indulging in, then they will accumulate teachers to tell them that God approves and celebrates these sinful desires and behaviors. But Paul says, preach the word faithfully in every season. And you know, for the preacher and the minister, there is a real temptation to only want to preach what you think people want to hear, and to shy away from speaking those things that people may not want to hear. But Paul says, preach the word faithfully. When, as a listener, or as one who sits under the preaching, this reminds us that there's a temptation for us to want to listen to those who will suit our passions. So you need to be a listener who's eager to hear God's word in every season. In every season, you need to be a listener who is ready to hear God's word in all of its fullness. If you are, perhaps you're on a pulpit search committee one day, or you find yourself moving and you're looking for a new church, look for the minister who preaches the word and is faithful in preaching the word. So the manner there is to preach the word in season and out of season. But finally, let's look at the mandate. Paul gives Timothy a mandate to preach. You know, Paul here is not giving Timothy a suggestion. He's not recommending, Timothy, here's my recommendation. I found preaching to be helpful. You should consider it. No, he says, Timothy, you have a mandate. Preach the word. Because this mandate is from God through Paul to Timothy. And that's why he ends here, Timothy, fulfill your ministry. Timothy, you have been entrusted to be a shepherd of God's people. And so what is central to your task? Preaching the word. And I want you to notice the strong language that Paul uses when he issues this charge to Timothy. Now, we've been going through this letter, and throughout the letter, Paul has given Timothy many commands, many imperatives. Timothy, entrust these things to faithful men. Timothy, flee youthful passions. Avoid irreverent babble. Do these things. But the most solemn charge that Paul gives to Timothy in this entire letter, the strongest language he uses for this imperative, preach the word. Why? Notice, he says, he begins, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. Where do we hear that language in our experience? Think about a wedding. We have gathered to hear together in the presence of God, right, and of these witnesses to join this man and this woman. Now, God is always present with us. Right? God he always sees. But that language is invoked when we're in a very solemn occasion or very important. And so Paul uses that language here. And why? It's because the word is God's instrument for saving his people and sanctifying them and equipping them for every good work. God accomplishes his glorious purposes for you through his word. Remember the context of this passage. Now, if you're looking at your Bible, you see this big chapter 4. Want to remind you that when Paul wrote this letter, he didn't say to his scribe, okay, that's finished verse 17, now start chapter 4. He's writing a letter, and it's helpful to remember this context. And so, in fact, these very verses come right on the heels and continue the thought that he is speaking in verses 15 and 16. He says, Timothy, remember what and continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the Scriptures, the Word of God, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. See, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Therefore, I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, preach the word. Preach the word. That's why our confession of faith, or the shorter catechism, question 89. How does God convert sinners? And how does he build them up? Well, if you've memorized the catechism question, God uses, right, the Spirit makes effectual the reading, but especially the preaching of the word for convincing and converting sinners and for building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. The word is God's tool. It's how the Spirit converts sinners, and it's how he sanctifies them. It's how he convicts you when you need to be convicted. It's how he rebukes you when you need to be rebuked. It's how he encourages you when you need to be encouraged. It's how he comforts when you need to be comforted, so that you can become like Christ Jesus. Because that is God's purpose for you and for all of his church. So, pray for your preachers, that they would be faithful in preaching God's word. Pray that God would raise up more to preach his word. and put yourself under that word regularly. Hear it, listen to it, preached, and receive it, until all God's people are brought in and built up to the praise of His glorious grace. Let's pray. Lord, our God, we thank You for Your awesome, glorious purposes for us. And we thank You that You have given us Your word. And we thank You that You have empowered men to proclaim and preach that word. And we pray, indeed, that You would be with all those who preach Your word, that they would be faithful to it. We pray that You would transform us through that word, and that that word would be preached, Lord, more and more in Your church and to the world. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.